still studying about the subject of calculating the cost, and I've been going through a lot of the Old Testament people that we've seen, that they have gone through some very difficult times in life, some very crucial decisions they had to make, and trying to make the right decision, you know, calculating, do I want to do this or not? Okay, do I want to go down this road? Okay, but I want to kind of read a little bit back with Rahab, okay, because I got some stuff I want to see here. When I go back and relook at some stuff, it just seems like there's a lot more truth in what I've brought so far. But Rahab did calculate the situation before her by hearing or seeing all that God had done with Israel on Israel's behalf. And the first order of business was to negotiate terms of peace and safety, not only for herself, but also for her family. Okay? Here was an interesting thought. This is what I was thinking about when I reread this. Okay, here was an interesting thought. She did exactly what Noah did. And what did Noah do in regards to his family?
He brought them to safety. I mean, they were in the ark.
Okay, did exactly what Noah did for his family. Okay. And that was to build an ark. She was doing exactly the same thing because she seen what was going to happen. Okay, and that's what I wrote on her, build an ark. And we get the idea of what we mean by building an ark, a safety net for yourself. Because she knew by the fact that she was looking at things, okay, for this family and was also doing it for all. For all that would believe, okay, this is not just only for this ark that he was building was not only specifically only for him and his family. It was for whoever wants to come in. You don't think that boat can accommodate a whole lot more than 8 people? Yeah, that was a big ship. You know, I think it was like 510 feet long. It was supposed to be, I don't know how many sizes of a football field. You know. And the height, and the 3 decks, and all this kind of stuff, you know. So there was a lot of room still to be left, you know. You know, and today, I mean, did God run out of room? Did nobody can fit into heaven no more? No, it's wide open. It's open. God can accommodate the whole world if everybody repented. But a lot of people will not. They just want to go out there and do their own thing and live the way they want to live, and they end up paying the consequences thereafter. Okay, let's see, I wanted to stay. Okay, this is where I want to read this stuff here. Let's see, what I want to do here first. Okay, we didn't actually finish that last reading, but I reprinted it. Okay, let's pass it around. And I marked it. Well, we left off, remember the butt?
Oh, you're talking about booty.
Oh, yeah, that
the booty, the butt.
Well, that was.
Yeah, you see that part? On the flip side of this page? Do I got your print? No, I did all yours in black.
The price was severe? In red?
Yeah, in red.
But the price, yeah, was severe. This is where we left off, okay? Okay, I want to finish reading that, then I want to read another copy of paper that I got here. Okay, but the price was severe. Her home and her country were utterly destroyed, and she escaped the destruction with the knowledge that it was her assistance that made the conquest possible. Okay, with her new life in Israel, there were possibly times when she felt less like a new Israelite and more like an ex-Canaanite. Okay, how many nations went down? There were 7 of them: the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hivites. But there were 7 nations altogether that they ended up conquering. Okay, whether the circumstances really were, the reader can be certain that Rahab sacrificed did not end when she left Jericho. When Rahab chose the God of Israel, okay, she did it with a faith that required personal and sacrifices and would affect the rest of her life. Okay, because that's a huge thing for her, you know, considering her former manner of life. Okay, she was actually acknowledging the God of heaven, not the God of this earth, or the gods of this world, because that's what they were accustomed to. Okay, one can say that sacrifices like the sacrifice of Rahab offered required more than mere belief. That's just the beginning. Just the beginning. How many of you guys remember when you first came to know the Lord and what kind of hell came your way thereafter? I talked about my situation many times. And I said, Lord, I thought things were supposed to get better. See, now everything's going south. Me and my wife were ready to split up. You know, I lost my job. Been falsely accused. It was just going really bad. Okay. That in Hebrews, of course, Hebrews 11:1 is what I call the guarantee of a faith, of things not seen, you know, the assurance and of the convictions, you know, of evidence and all this stuff. Okay, that you are doing the will of God, but actual knowledge, realizing that when these sufferings are ended, you will enter the eternal rest and be a partaker of the glories of God. Okay, these are all future events that will take place. So that, anyhow, finish that one up. I wanted to wrap that one up. Now I got this one here also. I'm going to read this here. Oops. What was that?
A bottle of water.
Almost had it.
Who needs water, man? Okay. Okay, let's see what this got to say. I don't really have. Okay, everybody got the paper?
Yes.
He said, she, or Rahab, could have chose to obey the authorities she knew, her king. Or she could have chose the God she did not know. She decided on a leap of faith. I don't like that word, a leap of faith, you know, no. It's a conviction of faith. Okay, that's what the way I would word. He said, hundreds of years later, the writer of the letters to the Hebrews still called her Rahab the harlot. So no, she did not lose that label. It's funny, they still consider her the harlot, okay? Mm-hmm. He said, but she did again enter into what we now call the Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab chose to lead to the conquest of Rahab chose to lead the conquest of Jericho, which led to Israel's rise as a nation. Rahab chose also led her to marry Solomon, okay, which led to her birth of Boaz. And Boaz married Ruth, one of the only two women to have books of the Bible named after them. Rahab, Ruth, other created generational lines leading to the mighty King of David, and King of David led to Jesus. Just by this one woman making that one decision to side up, okay, with Israel, look at the outcome of this thing. Got into the book of the Hall of Fame, brought in some very important people that were going to contribute to the plan of God. Just by a woman just making a simple decision to save herself and her family. Did she see what all this was going to entail by making that kind of a decision? I mean, can you look back in your life and see the decisions you made and the things you accomplished that I have accomplished? Okay? Not exactly in the Hall of Fame myself. Okay, I don't got kings and princesses coming after me, but the day I come to know Christ as my Savior, I witnessed to my mother, It took a little time, but she came to know the Lord. I witnessed to my family. My brother Art came around. Then my sister Lana came around. Then my cousin Irene came around. When I was talking to her mother, and her mother was saved. Irene was saved. Joe was saved. The whole Minor God family was saved. And from there, it trickled on to other people. Okay, so like one day my brother Art was telling us, you know, in this family, right, you're the one that kicked it off. Because everybody else is predominantly Catholic. Okay, you started the whole ball rolling. And I led my sister, Sarah, to the Lord here in this house, okay. Well, that was a good investment, but it hasn't been paying off lately. She's just there, you know. She doesn't know what she's missing out by not living for God. You know, she's in a state of misery. He said, one choice, just one, by a woman with everything stacked against her. Okay? Two thoughts to keep in mind. One, a client and a patient who comes in our doors may have everything stacked against them, but one choice, just one, can change everything. Just always remember that. Okay? With God's people, there's always, whatever choice you make, no matter how bad things are stacked against you, God says, how that verse go? For all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. Okay, all things work together. There's a lot in that verse of Scripture. When you really try to break it down, and it says, all things work together. And it says, even the hell that I'm going through, I says, yeah. You know, with that in mind, I want to read something here. Okay, with that in mind, James. Go to James chapter 1. Okay. And then we'll go to Peter. James chapter 1. In verse 2. Let's just read verse 1. James, a bondservant of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, okay, greetings. He said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And here's where it turns the other way. But if you are lacking wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from me. Being double-minded or two-souled, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God does not like to be doubted. And why would we want to doubt a God that created the heavens and the earth? A God that sustains everything by the word of his mouth, you know? But we do. Sometimes we fall short because the evidence of things not looking good. Man, how are we going to get through this, Lord? Put yourself in the days when they came out of Egypt. You're standing before the Red Sea and Pharaoh on the other side. You talk about being boxed in, cul-de-sac, brother. You could only either go back around or plow through those people's houses, you know. Whatever, but that's just my simplest way of explaining it. Okay, so what did they do? They panicked. You know, they started wishing they were back in Egypt, you know, man. And so they all had all that. But God always has something that's beyond our understanding. Because God is capable of doing anything. He can move mountains. He can move anything. Okay? And we know that if it's according to His will. And sometimes He does not take any trial or tribulation that's right in front of us. He allows us to go through these for a very good reason. To strengthen, to stabilize us. To stand firm, and like Moses said, stand back and see the salvation of God. Just look and stand still. And watch the deliverance of God. And boom, Moses. That was not just that alone. What was even more extraordinary? Beside the parting of the sea. I remember, I think Jim brought that out one time. when they started going through there.
On dry land.
Dry land. And we know how the ocean beds are, right? And dry land, solid. Oh my God, there must be a good sermon in that, huh? Okay. Now let's look at Peter, giving another one example of what we just talked about in 1 Peter. Where are you at? 1 Peter. Look at verse, let me see, let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Okay.
What chapter are you in?
Chapter 1.
Oh, first three.
Okay. Did I even tell you that? I don't remember if I told you where I'm at. I'm in verse 4 now. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Okay, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. Okay? In this, what we just read, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, okay? By various trials, so that the proof of your faith, okay, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and in glory and honor at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you have not do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining an outcome of your faith, of salvation of your soul. Okay? So a lot of stuff applies to Rahab. The outcome, the salvation of her soul, of her own soul, and the soul of the family. Okay, so I didn't say that we know that Rahab was a saved individual. And you can only make an assumption that the family followed suit. Okay, but primarily it was just simply to protect them from being put to death. Okay, simply to put them to death. Okay, two. What about us? Okay, we all wonder at times, can God work through me? I don't write the following to diminish Rahab, but her being labeled a harlot is a lesson that God uses, unlikely people, regardless of our past, whether better or worse than Rahab. God sees those who will seize the opportunity He gives. Rahab sees her opportunity and her moment of faith. She seized it. And this is what I wrote here, just a little something here. Rahab spoke the same words that Ruth spoke. Just go there. I love that. That every time I read that in Ruth chapter 1, I get a really nice feeling in myself, you know, just to see this woman and her dedication and her submitting to God, to a God that she never worshipped. Okay, where are you at? 1 and 2 Kings. In between Nehemiah and I think.
Ruth, it's before 1 Samuel.
Huh?
It's before
1
Samuel.
Man, where is that?
Ruth. Between Judges and...
Yeah.
Between Judges, right? I seen it this morning, so I know it's in here somewhere.
It's there kind of a small judges. Book. It's like 2 pages.
It's such a small little book.
2 pages.
You know, I kept passing it. Right? Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. I wonder what... Well... I don't have my Amplified Bible, but I wonder what it says there. But let's read it here in the American Standard. But Ruth says, do not urge me to leave you,
I've got Amplified right here.
Do you read that? I don't see the difference.
And I'm not sure it goes all the way. Yeah, it does have Ruth in it because there's some of the Old Testament I don't have in here. Let's see. Ruth. Where are we starting?
Chapter 1 and verse 16 and verse 17.
Okay. And Ruth said, "Urge me not to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you."
I guess that's a hell of a testimony. That the only thing that will separate me or you is death. Wasn't that true with us? Because I think of scriptures, man, when I don't even think about it when I'm studying. Who can separate us from the love of God? The only thing that will separate us from God is death, but that transports us to His presence. Okay, and what this lady is saying is there's nothing that's going to deter me from following you and the God of Israel other than death. Other than death. What are the marriage vows?
So death do us part.
Well, too bad that's not working too well these days, you know.
Yeah,
no, they want to get out of that marriage and no more that till death do us part, you know.
That's until you annoy me.
He said, "I'll be married to you until I find another lady and take your place." So that's their death doing part, you know. This is a very immoral. Okay, let me go back to this. Rahab spoke the same words that Ruth spoke in what we just read by her actions. Okay, Rahab entered into a covenant alliance with the people of God. For one, for a divine protection, okay, for herself and her family. Here's another idea here. Rahab's loyalty might have been divided. Okay, might have been divided. Do I follow the God of heaven and see where that's going to go? Okay, or should I not play the role of a treasonous? And maybe get promoted. There could have been a lot of things if she would have blew the whistle on these guys and had a real prestige place in society in this world. And we're going to read some other stuff here. Okay, so Rahab's loyalty might have been divided, but based on facts and faith. Based on facts and faith. Remember what she says? That we've been watching, listening, all that's been going on, and how you attack AI, and all that. I've been seeing and hearing all these things. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
By hearing. And by hearing of what? The Word of God. Okay? So that's basically what she was doing. She was hearing and listening, you know? Okay? Ended with a complete surrender to the true God in heaven. That speaks volumes considering her former life. Somebody read Ephesians 2, chapter 1. Let's all go there. Ephesians 2. When I thought about that, I thought about this verse. I saw things popping in my head when I get a thought, and then you think of a verse, and there it is. In chapter 2, I read that a million times in my lifetime. Verse 2, chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. It said, "You were dead in your trespasses and sin." Was she dead?
Yeah.
Absolutely. She was an idolatress, you know, and Lord knows what else. Yeah. Okay. "In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the powers of the air, of the spirits that are now or still working or still being energized by the God of this world." That's Ray Hernandez's philosophy. It's not really mine. It's just a paraphrase of a lot of different verses, you know. So you see, let me read that again in verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, and we know who that is, of the spirit that are now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh. Well, that was all part of her life. Yeah. Okay, she's making a living, you know, but indulging in this type of, you know, you got to say, man, that some of these men within, there had to be some married men involved there, you know. You know that. That's what I'm saying, okay? And he says, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, okay, children of wrath, even as the rest. But I like the second part of this. That second part applies to even Rahab. But God, being rich in mercy, was God merciful? Did God keep his promise? Did the spies keep their promise? God made sure they did. You don't ever want to... Well, remember what happened to Joshua? When those men came, they made a covenant with them. Because the whole thing that God says, you cannot make a covenant with anybody living within the land, right? Remember that? But outsiders can come in and you can make a covenant or a pact with them. Now, there's a lot of good lessons just in that idea. Okay? And so what did these, I think Gibeonites, they were the Gibeonites. He says, what did they do? The world is smart. They knew about that because they were living in there, okay? So what did they do? Knowing that they could not make a covenant, knowing that they're living in the land. So what did they do? They disguise themselves as though they come from far distant land. Dirty shoes, you know, wore out shoes and clothing and all that. And then we come from a far distant land. But what was Joshua's mistake? He made a covenant with them. But what was his mistake?
He didn't consult God.
He didn't consult God. He got hoodwinked. Can we get hoodwinked? Only God knows what's going on. But if you would have consulted God about it, I said, no, those people live in your land. Okay, but he didn't. And God allowed it. So he made a covenant with them. And then when he found out that he was deceived, what did he want to do? He was going to kill them all. And what did God tell him?
You made a covenant.
You made a promise, you made a covenant, and you're going to stick to it. And they're going to live in your land, my friend, because you did not consult me. When we try to run off and do our own thing, you know, for today I'll go here, for tomorrow I'll go there and do business, and I said, you better consult God before we plan on doing anything. Okay, because God knows if it's going to be good or bad. Okay, there again, look at you consult God when you're going to go out to battle, if he's going to be victorious or not. A lot of times they did, and a lot of times they didn't. And then sometimes when they did ask God, he said, and God said, no, don't go. What did they do? They go, and they got defeated because they disobeyed God. Okay, isn't that we can't move around freely? God just wants to be involved in your life and my life. He wants to help you make good decisions. Follow my lead. Okay? If you have a decision, okay. Whatever it is that you venture to do, weigh it out. And I will let you know if it's a good move or not. If I tell you to stay, stay. If I tell you to go, go. Okay? So you never want to go anywhere without God's blessing. He said, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. And I know he's talking about here primarily to his churches, okay? But he's talking about these people in their former way of living. But yet God was merciful. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, now, Rahab, because of what she did. She was raised to a pretty high position now. Okay? She did get promoted, didn't she? But this promotion was eternal. If she would have went and not committed the act of treason, she would have had praise and glory and promotion, but that was only temporal. What she did was for eternal. And that's what we do. Whatever we do for the Lord, we do it for eternal purposes. We get blessed in this lifetime when we follow the Lord in our service to Him. Okay, but we're actually working towards eternal, where moth or thieves or anything can come in and destroy. Those are secure, brethren, if you stay in the race. I'm not sure, can you ever lose those rewards that you might have been in the work for 10, 20, 30 years and you fall out? Does all that, I know the rewards are going to go somewhere. That is a fact. They don't just go off to oblivion. No, that I know, because God would distribute those rewards. So you take it from Him and give it to them. Remember that verse? Whatever he had, take it away from him because he was unfaithful with it, and give it to him. So see, the gifts, the rewards, they don't just go down the toilet. They're going to be contributed to those who are faithful, those that are bringing in a hundredfold. There's where they go, brother. And those rewards that are outside, they're not even members of the church, those rewards are going to be contributed. Remember when they were seeing those people that were outside, they were not part of the Lord's group? He said, if they're not against you, they're for you. Now there's an idea there. Whatever they do, all rewards and everything is going to be contributed to the Lord's New Testament churches. Okay? And those people are going to be rewarded mostly in this lifetime. Okay? Most in this lifetime. How much reward do they actually get outside of brightship? That I don't really know. But the greatest reward they do have is eternal life. They can live their life for the Lord and all that. But like Jim put it out 30 years ago, you have to be on the payroll in order to get paid. You have to be on the payroll. How and where is that place of employment that you will get paid? Where is it at? You're sitting right in it. You're part of it. You're the one that makes up this place of employment. Okay, and Jim brought that out in the Greek, place of employment. So the local New Testament church is where you're going to get the full potential of rewards for eternal future, for future eternal rewards. But you have to be on the payroll in order to do that. And a payroll is to the avenue of what? Baptism. That's when you have entered in the kingdom of God as a part of the administration of God's word. And therefore you took on the greatest responsibility in this world to be the light of the world, to be a heel, a government on a heel. So we have tremendous responsibility, brothers, as administrators, as spokesmen for God here on this earth. Israel one time were that spokesman. They were the representatives of God. Whoever wanted to know about the true and living God, they had to come to Israel and be proselyted in. Okay? Proselyted in. But God has always had a designated place where He will place His name. Where I put my name is where I will be. And when He built this tabernacle, okay, you could have had 10,000 tabernacles built out there. You think you're going to be in all of them? No. This is where they had to come, right here. He came, and where my name is where I will dwell, and where my people will dwell. That's what Ruth said, huh? Your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Okay, so she made a very wise and good decision. Let me finish reading this last verse. So that in the age to come, he might, okay, might. So there's still a might, there's still if. Because church membership is conditional or unconditional?
Conditional.
So there you can fall from grace. That's the falling from grace, not salvation falling from salvation. From there, you can fall. Boom. Because that is that's conditional. Salvation is unconditional. I can't thank God enough for Him making that an unconditional covenant, because He knows darn well we couldn't keep it 2 microseconds after we're saved. The first angry thought that comes into your mind will exclude you. And I was teaching the class Friday. I said, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day He came into the world, He had to live according to the law, to fulfill every jot and tittle, dot all His I's and cross all His T's. Growing up, did He ever get angry? Yeah, Jesus got angry, but that's what you call righteous anger. Okay? Did He ever experience some of the things we do, you know, a hatred just to be hateful? Or just to be mean? To be unkind? Just to be unkind? Jesus did none of it. He knew those two laws that linked the whole law together. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two laws, when I understand, hinges the whole law. One thing that I would like to make more study in that and get a better perspective of what those two laws, He talked about in the Old Testament and He talked about in the New Testament. Okay, just those two, you will fulfill the whole law of Moses. So don't ask me no more than that, because I couldn't answer. Okay, so that in the age to come, He might show you the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Okay, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift from God. And of course, verse 9, as a result, not of works, okay, that any should boast. But verse 10 is talking about services. Subject changes right there. Verse 8 and 9, all that is talking about salvation. Now when you get into verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's a very important word, in Christ Jesus, or unto Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So there's a lot of application of things when we're studying about Rahab. Okay, let me get back to this. Where is it at? Okay. And I already talked about, has she not cited or sheltered the spies, she would have been put to death, according to Joshua 6 and 21. And once they were given the order to go in, there and take out all men, women, children, animals, and on, and cut them down with a sword. Death. Sounds pretty cruel, seems like, huh? Why would God not spare the children? Why do you think God did not spare those children? Those children will grow up and become idolaters. Okay, and a lot of these children were actually young adult children. But if they were babies and all that, well, God knows where they're going. We know where they went. Well, why is that? You ever thought about why? Why did God want to wipe everything out of that? Why did God give that order to slaughter everybody? Don't leave nobody left. Well, we know when you continue reading the history of Israel, when they went into the land and they didn't totally fulfill, some of them did. Okay? Who was it? Who was that one? Joshua and Caleb. I don't know if it was Joshua or Caleb, and he was up in age, and he still wanted to fight. He conquered his territory. Each and every tribe was responsible to conquer their own, and to take over their land. But then a lot of them started compromising, started giving in. So, I guess, you can stay on mine, but you'll be our slaves. But what happened toward the end? They became slaves to them. They started worshiping their God. Then they started building these shrines and they're on mountains. They went ballistic because they did not listen to what God said. This is exactly what I told you. And He forewarns even back in Deuteronomy, prior to even coming into the land. when they kept agreeing, I said, whatever you say, more than we will do. And God knew. And Moses said, let the stars in heaven be a witness to what you just said, because you are going to go the opposite direction. Right now, they were sincere about it, but we can see the history, and you can understand why God says, get rid of them, because they will become a snare to you and your flesh. And you will be consumed by them, and you will worship their God. Okay, so there's good reason why God says to annihilate them. But God is a fair God. Anything under the age of accountability, they all go to be to heaven with the Lord, period. And all those at the age of accountability, God says, take them out. Because if you leave them, they will convert you instead of you converting them. So see, when you really get the whole picture together, you don't like the fact that these people had to die, but they made their own choices. They made their own choice to worship the God of this world. Okay? And Rahab, with an exception of all the people, far as I know, just her and her household, were the only one that survived. Okay? So there was a lot of bloodshed, brother. A lot. And I'm sure we can find examples in the New Testament of what God says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And then we just read in the book of Ephesians. Remember when you were dead in your trespass and sin? In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world? According to the God of this world? So we are supposed to eliminate anything that's worldly that can be detrimental to our spiritual service to God. Can we enjoy good friends even though they're not saved? Yes. Can we enjoy a lot of things? As long as that doesn't become a, I don't know, what do you call it? A too often normal thing for your life. I like going to the show. We don't go but once in a while. When I feel that there's a good movie, you know, like we did just this past week, you know. But I don't have a hankering to go every time, you know. Every Friday, because back in the day, we always went to the drive-in on Saturdays, you know. And that was a common practice, you know. But your world changes when you convert over to the Lord and your life has changed. And I'm sure it really changed for Rahab. But she had not committed treasonous acts. She might have been promoted or given prominence in the world of society. But all that was temporal. But she was looking for something much more. If she understood it or not, if that's what she bargained for, she got more than she ever even thought. She got more than she was bargaining for. She was basically bargaining for her life and the life of her family. Okay? That was it. Did she have any idea that she would be a prominent player? She's in the genealogy of Joseph. Okay, and that genealogy of Joseph is representing the royalty and the kingship of God. Okay, Mary's genealogy is the physical part of Christ, the man Christ Jesus. That's that genealogy. Because that genealogy ends with Adam. Okay, the other one ends with the King of David. So those two genealogies are picturing two different things. Royalty and the physical part of God, of Jesus Christ. Okay, the human side of it, you know. So, anyhow, that takes care of that. I don't know if I want to read any more of this stuff here, but, okay. Also, just one last point. By what Ruth did, and what all these people that do, and I have that in here somewhere. 1, 2, 3. You see, they changed the course of history because of the decisions they made. Ruth, she had a prominent place for herself, because we know what happened there, right? And then, of course, Rahab, that we've been studying about, changed the course of history. And you can find many, many others. And I didn't think much about, at the time when I was putting these together, about Ruth and her calculating of her life and the decisions she made. And to look at her and what all became of that because of the decisions she made. So these are very prominent people that we read about. When you look at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, okay, which is called the Hall of Fame, they defied the laws of physics. They had defied the kings and went against anything that the world had that would hinder them, and they sided with God altogether. And I got that written down here somewhere, if I can. No matter if I number, I'm still getting lost. Number 2, 3. Okay, no, that's when we get into Noah, that note there. Okay, so they had a tremendous impact, you know, in history, to say the least. He says, we all have to make choices in life, and often those choices result in significant consequences. Okay, this is just an illustration about making bad choices. I don't know what you know about sports, you know, but he said in 1920, the management of the Boston Red Sox made a bad choice to sell Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees. You remember that? I don't know much about sports, but after joining the Yankees, in 10 out of the next 12 seasons, Ruth hit more home runs than the entire Red Sox team. Boston had not won a World Series since 1918. Because they got rid of Babe Ruth. Can you imagine? That was a bad decision.
You know what? It's interesting because you know what they call the Yankee Stadium? Back when Babe Ruth was playing, they called it was the house that Babe Ruth built.
Really?
Yeah. He was the one that put them kind of on the map. Yeah.
Well, it was obvious because when they got rid of him, that was a bad move.
Right.
A bad move when Ruth was... Ruth was on the team until this week. They finally won the World Series. I remember hearing about that, you know. Like I said, I don't know much about sports. So what's all the wow about? And they haven't won a World Series since the day they sold Babe Ruth. Since 1918.
Wow.
Okay.
It's 100 years old.
And he gave you other illustrations of people, they make bad decisions about doing this and doing that. And they talk about the guy sold some rights about this one, and it became a really popular, which is Superman. Mm-hmm. You know, he made the guy who got it, he sold it. Didn't realize it was going to become a real big hit. You know, and they talked about RCA Victor records of exclusive contracts with a young singer named Elvis Presley. You know, that's forfeiting the royalties and over billions of dollars of income. He said, our text tells us about two good choices that greatly affects world history. The first choice was relatively routine at the time. Two slaves, okay, this is another one. This is going into Noah, okay? We're going to be looking at Noah, because this is part of the Noah study. Now we're going to look at Noah, okay? He says, our text tells of about a good two good choices that greatly affected world history. The first choice was relatively routine at the time. Okay, two slaves in ancient Egypt chose to defy the king edict to kill all male Hebrew babies by hiding their sons. Okay, that son turned out to be Moses. Okay, to be Moses. The greater deliverance of his people. Did these midwives know what they were doing? Obviously they did something right. They defied the king at the risk of their lives. Okay? Did they know they were going to contribute to a complete world change of Egypt one of these days? But they made a good decision. Did they weigh out the facts? Yeah. He says, the second choice was was that Moses himself, and it was more difficult, he chose to give up the position of influence and wealth in Egypt's court in order to side with the enslaved people of God. Both choices were motivated by faith, and their lessons have eternal consequences for us. But choose to teach that. They chose to teach that. Okay, now my notes on. So now we're leaving Rahab for a while, and we're going to read about Noah. Noah starts way back in Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22, and 6 and 22. Noah did just that. Okay, let's read a little bit in Genesis just to get some of the background of Mr. Noah himself. Genesis chapter 6. What time is it? And it says here in verse 13, he says, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Here's another thing. You don't think there were babies involved in this area, this time? Animals struggling. You visualize that, it sounds pretty bad. Okay, just drowning, one by one. And I was telling Vince, I was reading something about when the earth was filled in the flood, it was flooded for over a year, about a year and 10 days that it lasted. Okay, where did all them bodies go? All them bodies, where did they go? After the water subsided. They got buried in, it's like fossils. They became fossil. And people keep finding bones, fragments of bones of human beings. I never thought about it. Those can be very well. People were back during the pre-flood when that happened. They're so buried in deep. Well, I know that to be true because you got the dinosaurs. We're still pulling out oil. And that we know that comes from the dinosaurs that roamed this world. They're all over. They were all over, buried deep into the earth. Okay, and we're still drilling. He said, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Okay, and you shall make the ark with rooms. And then he gives you all the dimensions and all that. In verse 17, behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which it is the breath of life. Okay, from under the heavens, everything that is on the earth shall perish. And it did. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with them. Okay. He says, and every living thing of flesh you shall bring to. And it just lists all the things that is going on there. Let me see. 6:22. Then Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. So in here we don't read anything about Noah, maybe questioning God, or what's this all about, Lord? I don't know about this. You know, you don't see any of that. And that's one of the character traits that stand up to Noah. By faith, did what he did. And he didn't see a lot of things. Noah did just that. Okay, no questioning God about it. Don't question him about it. Now think about this. How does one calculate about something he never seen or heard about? Let's look at Hebrews 11 in verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Let's read in verse 6. It says, without faith is it impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence or in faith or in belief, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Well, we just read in James, didn't we? But don't ask in doubting, and don't think for a moment that I will grant you your request when you doubt me. I said, man, look around you. Look what God has done. And then when you read this one part, where is that at? In Hebrews 11, in verse 12, verse 1. Therefore, after the whole 11th chapter, and then it says in verse 12, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sins which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before him. What cloud of witnesses? The whole 11th chapter. God put that in there for a good reason. God gave us the Old Testament for good reasons. And I think in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, these things are written so that you will not repeat the sins and the rebellions of Israel. Okay, so the Old Testament is supposed to be examples of many things that people went wrong on, and plus things that people did was good. So we can learn a lot of lessons from the Old Testament. They're examples of what to do and what not to do. And if you do it, it shows you how to get out of it, or it'll tell you, now this is what you're going to go through. Okay, so many examples of the Old Testament are written for our example, so that we will not repeat the follies and the sins of a lot of our Old Testament brothers and sisters in Christ. Because was there anybody really, really perfect back in those days? Everybody had their little faults. Some were spoken more highly of. They were more on a straight and narrow. But a lot of them were just kept rearing off. Did Abraham always do what God said? Did Jacob do always what God said? Okay, no. You're reading about Old Testament people that are human beings just like you and I. They made decisions, good decisions, bad decisions. Okay, but one thing I say about many of our patriarchs, they recognize when they did something wrong. And they will repent and ask God to forgive. Okay? That was David for sure. When he was confronted, did he argue the matter? Did he plead the fifth? No, he did not say a word to that prophet. That David knew. He knew. Do we know when we screwed up? Lord knows I know when I do. I said, that was a no-no. Gee, I'm going to pay for that one. When and where or how, I don't know. I said, Lord, take it easy now. You know? And you're with the one of patterns. Easy, Lord. Sometimes, that ain't going to work. I said, no. I'm going to take care of you the way I always take care of you. You can read that also in the 12th chapter about disciplining. Okay? But God's discipline is always and aligns itself with the thing of love. God doesn't do anything for revenge or payback or anything like that. Not when it comes to his people. He always comes at them with love and concern and wants to straighten you up. That's why we whip our children, when to straighten them up, so they will be good citizens, be good children, and be model fathers and model mothers. Okay? So there's a good purpose behind it. Anytime you want to discipline just purely out of just to beat your kids, that's a problem. That is a problem.